This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming your way on a Thursday, brought to you by our friends, the law firm Condori and Murad. They will help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney as needed. Schedule a free consultation with our buddies and their attorneys over at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. They're good eggs. They are good D.C. sports fans. They are huge fans of all the local teams. In fact, they're such big D.C. sports fans, I'll bet you they will tune in to the Rising Stars game this weekend to see how the Young Wizards do.
Because there are a few of the guys playing.
That's how much they love D.C. sports.
If it's on, I'll watch it. But I'm not going to go seek it out. I'm not going to go home tonight and set a reminder or anything like that.
You will put in zero effort then. Is that fair?
That's right, yeah. So if I happen to be sitting in front of my tube, which I might be, and, oh, yeah, that's on. I'll watch it. I'll check it out for a microsecond.
If the game was being played on the sport court you built in your backyard,
I'd check it out.
Would you close the blinds, or would you actually go out, like walk outside?
Yeah, I'd grab a cup of hot cocoa or something. It'd be a little chilly. I wonder why you guys are doing this today. But, yeah, that's fine. I would do
that. I could see you walking out to the back of the backyard, way back in the corner, and then seeing the boys on the sport court.
Yeah. Watching Bilal and company hit fadeaways, no problem.
How cool would that be if they hosted it on your sport court?
Very cool. You couldn't do a full court situation, but I'd go, you guys are welcome. You know, there's a restroom inside. You guys go right into the right. Help yourself to any snacks.
Bilal could put on a show. He'd be the most athletic guy to have hit that court so far.
He would be the most athletic person we've had on the sport court. Although there's a guy named Robert I play pickleball with who's in his late 50s.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he can move around a little bit.
He's up there?
He's spry, yeah.
On 1 hour at 6 o'clock, Troy Jones is a former Maryland quarterback. We will not really be talking to him about that element of his career. He and Andrew Hawkins, the former wideout, you remember him with the Browns?
Of course, yeah. It was with the Bengals too, I think, right?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So undersized guy, about 5'7" or so. He was awesome in the slot. I loved him. Good analyst since then on TV as well. But those two guys combined to come up with technology that's led to what you see on ESPN, Dan Orlovsky using when he puts on like the RV goggles and he's able to watch tape and show you what the quarterback saw. And it's feeding out of the same trough of what Jaden Daniels uses in town here to prepare himself for games that we've talked so much about. And we caught up with Troy Jones. He was making the rounds at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and it was just a really awesome conversation. It was one of those where it wasn't timely, so we kind of stashed it and said, let's come back to it mid-next week, but I want to play it for people today and have a discussion afterwards with you about where we're headed with this technology and why more quarterbacks especially, but players specifically, you know, aren't using it. So we'll get into that coming up at 6 o'clock. I think that'll be a good combo. But speaking of Daniels, how confident should we be that he can repeat the year he just had? Danny, last year, C.J. Stroud did that thing. The amazing rookie year, nobody done before. This guy's now one of the best in the league. Everyone's debating, is it too soon to put him fifth behind the big four? Like a lot of the same stuff we're saying with Daniels.
Yep.
Daniels, though, has a whole different element of his game where he's one of the great running quarterbacks that we've ever seen after 1 year. And Stroud is a pocket passer who doesn't move around nearly the same. But you know, similarly, both of them came to their teams, elevated their organizations.
Changed bad organizations into good. Yeah.
100%. Then Stroud took a small step back with more around him the next year with the continuity of the coordinator that was hiring, interviewing for head coaching jobs, staying around, which was expected to be the gift. And then, I don't know if this is true or not, but the reports come out that they were butting heads, and that guy gets fired. So the question becomes, what's your level of confidence, and how sure are you that Daniels is a top five performer again next year?
I love Jaden Daniels so much. He is so good. I'm so glad he's here. 6 out of 10. People are going to hear that and go, what the hell's the matter with you? You're ignoring every other factor when you talk about it. You just referenced C.J. Stroud. That doesn't account for anybody else having a break. Like, Justin Herbert can't have a great season because now you're not fifth anymore. It doesn't allow for any growth or any kind of great year from guys like Bo Nix or Brock Purdy back with a healthy San Francisco 49ers team, or Jalen Hurts ascending, playing like he did in the Super Bowl. There are too many variables. Then you start to add in a far more difficult schedule. And I'm not saying we're going to have a C.J. Stroud-type season where he threw 20 touchdowns, 12 picks, and was fine, pedestrian for most of the year. I think you said it very well. Daniels' floor is higher because of the athleticism and his willingness and ability to run and impact defenses in that way. But the idea that we just get out of bed, throw the 53 jerseys out on the field, and he's just top five, like it's automatic, let's not count our chickens. Again, I love the dude. He is the answer. Doesn't change my bullishness or excitement for him this year, long-term or otherwise. There needs to be a little bit of roll slowing, if that's even a turn of phrase. Right?
Well, here's what I take out of what you just said, and I think this is an important clarification. What we aren't saying is, what is the chance that that was the best year he'll have? That's not the question. That's not what we're suggesting, mm-hmm. right? What is the chance that that was flukish? What is the chance that, you know, he's not going to be able to find that level again? That's not the point. What we're asking is just this coming season, with everybody now giving you their best shot, having the tape to study, being able to play your strengths with their strengths, how sure are we that he can run this year back and be at that top five or seven, whatever you want to say, level again? And we chose top five because he was graded a top five quarterback by PFF at the end of the year.
That's where they put him, yeah.
That doesn't mean, by the way, that the top four were the actual best four. Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar. But the idea is he was elite. He was in the top tier of quarterback play this season. He played at an MVP level for almost the entire part of the season where he was not overcoming his rib issue, right? And as the year went on, it became pretty obvious as he got back to playing at that level. Well, there was just something in those several weeks that didn't allow him to do that. I am confident that he will always be able to be a playmaker with his feet. Like, I don't think that goes away. I don't think that gets taken away. I think he will only be more successful in that area in terms of yards per attempt. You know, he didn't really rip off a ridiculous run this year.
There's no Griffin against Minnesota, right?
Nah, didn't have it. Didn't have the 70-plus yarder. Like, and that's coming in his career. I mean, he could score on an 85-yard touchdown on a 1st-and-10 from the 15 or something. I don't think anyone would be shocked. He's going to have 125, 130-yard games that he didn't really have but once or twice this year. I think the Falcons game with overtime with all those runs, 16 attempts. He's going to run 20 times at some point maybe next year. Who knows? But my confidence is about where yours is. I would say middling, that he can repeat. And it has nothing to do with him. It's just hard to do. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Robert Griffin or it's – I'm trying to think of the other really special quarterback seasons. You know, Dak in a run-first offense. But, like, you know what happens?
Baker Mayfield set the touchdown record in Cleveland his first year and then was a guy that bounced around to seven different teams or whatever before finally reclaiming his career in Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly threw a lot of touchdowns. I'm trying to think of, like, the guys after their rookie years where we said, oh, my God, this dude is special. I don't know how many people were saying that about Baker after he threw the 14, 15 picks as a rookie in 13 games. But I get your point. He threw 27 touchdowns. Nobody had ever done that before. But I'm thinking best rookie seasons ever, and it's like him, Stroud, Dak, Herbert maybe. Herbert's the only guy here of the last several years that probably was better the following season, right? I mean, in terms of, like, do you go up on the staircase or down? Because his yards per attempt were probably the same, but more touchdowns, a ton more yards. I think he played in a couple more games. Like his sophomore year, he threw for 5,000
yards. Yeah, five grand and 38 tutties, yeah.
I'll take that. Where do I sign up for that?
No, let me sign up.
Yeah, you said 6 out of 10. I don't want to use the same number. I guess I'd go 5 out of 10 that he plays at that level. But I do think there's a path to making that like an 8 out of 10 for me, which is to say if you were to line the season back up and you were to ask him behind a pedestrian line and with the receiver room that they had or the caliber of it next year, maybe it's a 5.5 or so. You go out and you fortify your O-line with a new starting tackle and a new starting guard. You add a number two wide receiver. You give me a little playmaking ability at tight end, whether that's Ertz coming back or not. And then you go get a home run hitter at running back. You're now better in every area around him. You've upgraded at RB, solidified your line, your tight ends, your wide receivers. Danny, I'm an 8. 8.5, because even if he doesn't play at the exact same level, you would think that the continuity and the weaponry is going to help him. And you could point to C.J. Stroud and say, well, what happened? I think they made – I don't have a good answer for that. I honestly, I don't want to even speculate because
I
don't know
the answer.
Yeah, I
can't diagnose it. I cannot figure out what it was because everything that I would want to have done was done. I think we had somebody – maybe it was Mike Jones, again, one of the days you were out – sort of asked him about that sort of generally. And I think maybe it was an offensive line question where maybe they didn't invest enough there and that group may have struggled. Maybe there's some injury. Again, I can't break down every who their right guard is or you know how he played. But I think that's probably a huge part of it, maybe a lesson learned there. But again, people aren't going to hear the gushing love and praise that I've got for Jaden Daniels. They'll just hear the second part. And your point, I think, is very good about how hard it is. B, I think we're underestimating potential schedule and the challenges and how good some of these defenses are. And I mean, are you telling me again for you know the second half of the season they can't run the ball at all, except for him? Is that sustainable? Now, again, he's excellent. He'll get some rushing yards, but at what cost, right? I mean, there's just so much in the way with how hard this is that it basically tells me just guaranteeing it is folly. Again, I'd still bet on the guy, and I probably will. If there's a somebody makes me a book that says, will Jaden Daniels have as good a season this year as he did year number one, I'm in favor of it. I think it will. It's more likely to happen than not because I think he's that special. But the challenges in the way don't get easier, right? Even with more weapons, see Houston.
Yeah, I'm looking at their schedule next year. We don't know when they play teams, but we know who the opponents are. And you got, you know, Brian Flores in the Vikings defense. obviously, the Rams defense and McVay, the way they played. How about the Packers defense second half of the season, what was a tough customer, the Chiefs and Spags. I mean, there's going to be some coordinators that want to play some chess with him, no doubt about it. But we'd open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. The question being, level of confidence for you that Daniels can do what he did this season in a year, in year two. And then also, what can they do to help you feel more confident about that? And that one's easier to me. That's just about beefing up around him. I really think, though, if they either get weapons or they add to the line, I think you'll disagree with me here. I'd rather them have the best line in the league and maybe let him elevate their next Alameda Zacchaeus and see where you go with McLaurin and McCaffrey and whatever receivers are in here.
Yeah, if it has
then vice versa.
If it has to be a binary, I'd probably take that. Just because, again, long-term health and sustainability. For me, like, him running is inevitable. And it's going to happen, and it's good most of the time when it does. But we already saw, we got away with a, you know, I don't know, would you call that a mild scare with him having to leave the Carolina game, and then he wasn't the same for a month, give or take?
Well, I mean, did we get away with it? Because he missed 3.5 quarters of a game. Now, luckily, they scored 40 points, and Mariota played great. Mm-hmm. And then he was a shell of himself for 3 weeks. He played nothing like Jaden Daniels. He might as well have been playing a backup quarterback.
I say we got away with it because they won 12 games at the NFC title game, and his career wasn't altered. But, yeah, it depends on your definition therein. But to me, it's got to be the protection and maximization of the player is what's essential. That axiom for me hasn't changed even since the beginning of last year when we're talking about drafting Jaden Daniels potentially. protecting him, and then maximizing him. And if I've got to choose one or the other, it's protection. Because I'll have a lower ceiling offense as long as that guy's safe and see what else happens. Ideally, it's a renaissance on offense, and you are a buzzsaw on that side of the ball, and I could hopefully add to the defense too. But, yeah, I mean, if I had to pick one, it would be protection.
By the way, going back to your point about his injury, that is still my number one concern and will be just
same
going
here.
Into any season with him. And people could say, oh, anybody could get hurt. Yeah, especially when you run 16 times in a few games, you know, especially when you weigh 197 pounds or whatever it is that he weighs. And I know he's vowed to try to get bigger and stronger and add muscle. And I feel better about him and his durability and his avoidance of injuries now, obviously, than it did before the season when I used it as a major ding against him before the draft. Because my opinion was, I don't know if he can navigate a full season. And he mostly did. Now, I'm not going to go hard with that because he did have a broken rib, it seems like, and missed, you know, again, a game and then, you know, a month where he wasn't right and he was compromised. But he played through it to his credit, so I give him full marks for that. But I guess my point is, like, that's not linear. Just because this year went that way doesn't mean next year, one of those helmet-to-helmet hits, and they happened mostly early in the year, but remember, like, the Bucks game?
Yes,
took that
sideways,
huge hit.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, whoever was the red hat that day didn't pull him off the field, luckily, and say, you got to go to the blue tent. Like, there might be three of those this year where the helmet-to-helmet hit that didn't result in that. You get pulled out, and now you miss a quarter, or you miss the rest of the game, or whatever. So that is another reason why, you know, it's hard to be a nine, so to speak. Do you think that he's going to play every down in all 17 games? Yes, anybody can get hurt, but it's like saying to someone who drives a motorcycle and they're having a conversation about them being safe or whatever, and they're like, oh, well, you know, car crashes happen and there's deaths in that too. It's like, well, yeah, understood, but you are less safe if you're getting into a crash when you're on a motorcycle, you know, and you are, as a quarterback, probably less likely to play 17 games when you're running it more times than everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, you know, we don't think about these hits. We didn't with Griffin for most of the year until you don't get up from that one. Like, remember that hit against Atlanta from behind where, like, both his knees buckled and he folded back?
Of course,
and
going into the end zone.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, I think it was against Atlanta. Maybe I got my games crossed. But it was a sack from behind where someone dove low and he wrenched back and like both his legs and were stuck underneath the defender and he kind of collapsed like an accordion or folded like a chair, whatever analogy you want to use. And
oh, you're talking about Daniel. Sorry, Daniels. I thought you were talking about Griffin against the Falcons.
No. And it's you're going, oh my God. And then he hops back up and smiles and pats the guy on the head. You're going, oh, it's fine. And it becomes an afterthought.
Oh, totally.
That's their running or not. There's already plenty of risk, and then you add in what happened against Carolina.
Well, but see, that hit is kind of what changed my opinion on him a little bit. The hit you just referenced, dude, that's a torn everything for certain guys. You know, I mean, there is this, and I knock on wood when I say this, but there's like this Gumby feel where he seems to pop back up, and he seems to be okay. And to your point, like, that logic doesn't really work. It sounds great until it doesn't. Like, oh, he'll be fine. He's Jaden Daniels. He doesn't really get hurt. Well, there was that time against Alabama where, you know, he's walking off the field to get checked or whatever. But, yeah, the hit against the Falcons is when I thought, all right, he's one of those. There are guys that get hurt a lot. There are injury-riddled guys. There's, like, frail guys. Frail is, I think, the word I'm looking for. Braille is what you read if you're using your fingers.
See, yeah.
Very different. Mm-hmm. But there's these frail guys, and then there's dudes that just, for whatever reason, don't get hurt that often. Like, this is going to be a terrible bit. I hope this doesn't sound like I'm comparing myself, but, like, I've never gotten stitches in my life, okay? I have never really broken a bone in my life. Weird. But, like, the amount of times in sports where I'm like, I think I might have broke this or done this, and it just, it has not happened. It's very odd. Well, I know buddies that get hurt all the time, and it's just like luck. I promise you, it's not that I took care of my body better. It's not like I drank more milk or trained or stretched. I promise you, I got lucky to an extent, and hit the lottery in that way. And like some guy, they're just bodies. I think a doctor would probably back me up on this. Some people are just more inclined to get hurt than others. And when he did that thing against the Falcons, I thought, well, maybe he's got the lucky bones and body thing going, the lucky ligament structure. All right, let's take calls on this next. 800-636-1067. Are you confident that Daniels can repeat this year's performance and be a top-of-the-league QB again as a sophomore after we saw C.J. Stroud struggle and take a step back in his second season? Grant and Danny on the Fan. PFF rated Jaden Daniels their fifth best quarterback in the 2024 season. That shouldn't stun anybody, but we're asking you, how confident are you that he can repeat as a top five QB in 2025? Phones are open at 800-636-1067. We just went through some of the complications and some of the things out of his control that make it really, really difficult to go back-to-back with tremendous years at quarterback generally, but on top of that, as a young guy into your sophomore season, see some of the pitfalls of C.J. Stroud and some of the other recent amazing rookies. But let's see what people think. We'll start with Elijah in the district on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Well, excellent, fellas. I'm super confident because he's been on this for a very long time. You can tell that he didn't just develop his routine of how he prepares and how he handles everything. He's been on that for a while. He didn't just show up to Washington and like, I need to put together this routine and figure out how I'm going to. So he already has had that. It seems like we haven't even thought about him having a rookie jump almost. Like, okay, he's just here. No, he's going to have his rookie jump as well. And so I'm super confident. And I think that the ownership, because of his work ethic, because anybody in investing, it's easy to invest in someone that you know is putting in the insane amount of work that he's doing, and how they're going to reward him by putting players around him that can create opportunity. I was talking to Main Man over the phone. We have to decide how much do we need guys to create opportunity, and how much do we need guys to be able to sustain that opportunity once it's been created? Because they are players who specialize in doing different things, if you would. So that's why I like Myles Garrett, because he can create the opportunity, and then you can go draft a few guys or maybe guys on your team who can sustain that opportunity once it's been there, because we know this team is being built to finish with Jaden Daniels having the ball. We're not necessarily building this team to have the defense finish the game. Yeah, if it comes down to it, boy, we would like to have the horses to do it, but this is for Jaden to finish the game.
As so it currently constructed, for sure, Elijah. Good call, as always, buddy. Appreciate you making it. I think you'd like to have the option. In other words, they won all these games down the stretch, Jeeps, by manipulating tempo, game clock, score, down distance. Oh, by the way, without a running game. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing this tightrope walk that's almost impossible. And if you know, we remember all these games fondly, and rightfully so, because the run was amazing. But the Atlanta Falcons have a kicker that makes whatever it was, a 50-yarder, you lose. You don't have the streak. Or the doink goes the other way. But we've rehashed that a million times. I don't think it's necessarily we have a good quarterback, so we can't upgrade the defense. So, I understand your point that that's not how they're built, but that's not how they're built right now. Each year, there's a new identity. I mean, look at 3 years ago Chiefs versus this past year's Chiefs. Totally different teams, minus Mahomes and Reed.
Well, and the Chiefs are an example of they have a great quarterback, so they focus on their defense. And they go, he'll make everyone on the offense better. Instead of surrounding him with more weapons to be greater, they've gone, he'll make the Noah Gray thing work. And then they stack and load their defense and draft heavily on that side of the ball. But I'll choose to grab another part of that call. He said, we never even talk about the possibility of a leap from his rookie year to his sophomore year. And he's right about that. I think, number one, we just haven't had the time to. I mean, the season ended. right before the Super Bowl, which is nice.
Right.
Then we're at Super Bowl Radio Row, and, you know, and now we're just kind of going through some of the big picture thoughts and conversations going into the offseason, right? But I think that's fair because it's hard to imagine that he's going to make a leap. How do you make a leap from what he just did? It would, you know, a leap from where he just was.
Winning the MVP.
Means he's the MVP award winner and the best quarterback in the league next year. Now, is that possible? Yeah, we just saw something that was incredible. His last 2 years, he's had a year that's never happened before in the SEC and won the Heisman, and a year that's never happened before in the NFL, won the Rookie of the Year, and probably should have gotten more consideration for the MVP award. So another leap for another season gets you to being the best in the National Football League in that moment, right? It could happen, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it because the chances are either not great or it's just not worth the conversation, I don't think, in the same way because it's unrealistic. But, man, maybe it isn't. You know, maybe he is that guy. Maybe this is someone who's so special. I mean, I'll tell you this. Coming back from New Orleans and all of the people I talked to, and I'm talking former players, former coaches, current players, current coaches, media people, public relations, members of different staffs all over the league. Like, the conversations were the same. It was like, oh, my God, that kid's the best. Well, everything I've heard about him is amazing. I mean, but when the front office and the coach people are telling me, you know, as soon as he was the pick at number two, we knew you guys were set. Our meeting with him blew me away. You know, I had someone tell me, I think I tweeted this out, that this was a coach in the NFL that said, I would, if I could start a team with any player in the entire league, it would be Jaden Daniels. Like, when you're hearing that kind of stuff, I mean, shoot, man.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
Why not start thinking about the moon and saying, yeah, he could make another leap and be the best player in the league next year?
Yeah, I mean, they just went to the NFC title game. You know what I mean? Like, each sentence
nothing's
about,
crazy
right,
anymore?
Yeah, there's let's talk plainly. Nothing is off the table anymore with the ceiling. Or I mean, what he did, and again, I almost called him C.J. Abrams. C.J. Stroud just did something very similar in Houston where the expectation on the floor, people are disappointed. People like me, goons like me are going, you know, they were 10-7 and they won a playoff game, but so what? That group didn't win 10 games over the previous 3 years combined before he showed up. And now they're so elevated. Remember, a year ago, I mean, a little more than that, but it's like, we're not that far from 2-2-22 and 7,000 investigations and Ron showing the make-believe paper of analytics about Carson Wentz. You know what I mean? Like, there is now nothing that's irresponsible to dream on when it comes to how special he is.
Craig, Damascus, you're on Grant and Danny. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to say that this region has like a psychosis for not having a quarterback. And also that when they get a quarterback like Daniels, that they don't think they're going to be able to keep him. They're still in that psychosis. So I think he'll be fine. The league has changed with the rules of hitting the quarterback. Roger Staubach, Fran Tarkenton, Randall Cunningham, they all scrambled. They all ran the ball. They didn't get hurt. Robert Griffin III, when he came into the league, he already had two surgeries, guys. So, you know, that was pretty much the end of his career when he got the first one in the NFL. So that's just my thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's certainly true. Like a guy that throws 100 miles an hour didn't need arm surgery. So you go, see? Well, then there's 77 other guys that did. I can't rattle off every quarterback that moved around that whose career arc was damaged because of all the hits they took and changed. But there's plenty from Cam Newton to Dante Culpepper to, you know, kind of anybody in between. But that's not to say that I don't love Jaden Daniels and his playing style. And you reference Robert Griffin as we have because there's an inevitable comparison between number 12 overall pick, Heisman Trophy winner, super athletic quarterback that's, you know, lit the town on fire. And there are things that Daniels is a lot better, and we don't have to go into those. But, yeah, I mean, that same feeling of excitement to have it all ripped away, yeah, you're right. Maybe we are scarred because of that. But it's also there's enough data points where you look around the league at someone who I love, for example, Lamar Jackson, has missed a ton of time over the years as a quarterback that takes more hits than the average bear simply because he's got the football in his hands more. It's not just handing it off. It's also carrying it 200 times in a season.
Yeah, I would just say to the call, Roger Staubach's career high was 55 rushes in a season. Jaden Daniels just ran the ball 180 times. Randall Cunningham, twice over 90 carries in a season. Again, Jaden Daniels just ran the ball 180 times? 150 times this past year. And there was a game that he basically missed because he got hurt on the first drive against Carolina. And then there were multiple games where he didn't run because he stayed in the pocket because he was nursing a broken rib. So that number is going to be up next year. That's in the 160s, 170s probably next season. That doesn't, you're not going to find that very often in history. You know, guys that have had that type of a rushing total. Lamar Jackson is very, very rare. Mike Vick, maybe. Cam Newton, I doubt, ever ran the ball that much. I'd have to look it up. But so comparing him to scrambling quarterbacks of the, you know, yesteryear, no. This guy's running a lot more. He's going to take more hits. And by the way, they're bigger and faster as they're chasing you. Defenders are stronger and bigger and faster now than they were in that era. Now, they used to get away with a lot more violence, and I certainly would tip my cap to those quarterbacks in that regard. They were able to hit you a lot worse, scary, mean ways. But I would just tell you that a running quarterback in this era is still going to have to survive several blows that are bang-bang that could end your season. And this year, they went his way, luckily. You just don't know in the future. So is that the word he used, I guess, was psychosis? I mean, maybe. I covered Robert Griffin every single day, was there for 2012, 2013. Yeah, that's going to shape me in some capacity. I understand how, you know, past information works. But I don't apologize for that, and I think it's information. I think it's data. I think it's somewhat relevant. It's not the end-all, be-all, but to pretend like, you know, you don't learn something from that experience, though, I don't think is smart either. I mean, that's what history provides, is an opportunity to maybe avoid some of those things in the future. 800-636-1067, you want to hop in on Daniels and his effort to repeat and improve next year. Also, a lady gave birth in one of the wildest places I've ever heard. Danny very well could have been there.
Oh,
he wasn't, but he could have been. And if he was, I can predict exactly what he would have done. We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny. Danny, a 25-year-old woman, is owed a congratulations.
Okay.
She gave birth to a baby girl. It's not particularly notable, right?
Lots of those happen every day, I'd say.
Except she gave birth to a baby girl on a New York City subway train. It happened on Wednesday morning, according to Metropolitan Transportation Authority officials. You've ridden on many of those trains.
Yeah.
When you were living in New York.
That ain't the place to be giving birth.
Approximately 11:32 in the morning, passengers on a southbound W train alerted the conductor that a woman was giving birth inside one of the cars, according to the MTA. Quote, as we're entering 34th Street, I think there was a miracle on that street before, so this is the second one. You hear her asking, thank you, help, 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 passenger Brianna Brown, who captured the moment on video, told New York ABC station. You then hear a baby start crying. So I guess it was a quick labor. She just starts yelling help, and then a baby's crying, and it's there? What are we doing here? That is a show.
Did anyone help? Like, in other words, I wouldn't know what to do to help. I can't help you. Or, like, is it a medical professional?
So here's my prediction. I said I know what you would do. So I think if you were sitting near this person, and she started having laborious pains and making laborious noises, you would run away.
Yep. I'm not the right person. I'm not
so,
there.
But if you're the only one on the train, let's say, you would still run away.
Yeah.
Here's what she would try to stop you. She would be like, sir, please, please.
I'm just going to go to get someone.
You would not gone. Listen.
Vapor.
You would not stop to see what she was saying. You would not try to make sure she was okay. Like, you don't know she's having a baby.
Usain Bolt 1, me 1A. How fast I would move.
There's no one on the planet probably. That is a grown-up. That would be worse to have as the only person on that train with you
yeah.
if you were this lady than you. Because I just don't think, Am I wrong in saying you wouldn't give her the time of day to explain what's happening?
I couldn't. Too much panic. Too scary. Too much imposition. I can't. I'll notify so many people. Like, I'll tell an adult, like one of the guys in the MTA uniforms, like one of the conductor type dudes. What they do is they stick their head out the window, make sure nobody's like about to get caught and die in the train or the track, something like that. Then they hit the button to go ahead, and then they go to the. I would go knock on that guy's little booth. There's a lady giving birth back there, and then I would keep going further away from the problem. Like, I would move to the furthest end away I could be, and I would just get off at the next stop.
Dude, listen to this. The train stopped at the 34th Street Herald Square station. Are you familiar?
Yes. I mean, I rode that.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Under the flagship Macy's department store. So that's Miracle on 34th Street, right?
Dude.
That's where the Santa was when he hit the guy with the cane or whatever. Several commuters assisted the woman in the delivery.
You're kidding.
With one even cutting the umbilical cord with a pocket knife.
Wrong.
With a pocket knife.
Nope.
From our knowledge, she wasn't a doctor or anything. She was someone who had full knowledge of what to do in this situation.
Who just had a pocket knife. It's not like that she rinsed it in hydrogen peroxide. It's not like no to all of this.
I think it's better to have it cut than have it dragging all over the subway floor.
This is the least sanitary thing in human history, what you're talking about. Like
it's not sanitary. That's fair.
Yeah, the
but the baby
train,
has to be born.
Oh, I get it. I mean, good Lord. I cannot imagine.
There's a video capture that shows the woman lying on the floor after giving birth with another passenger hoisting up the newborn and wrapping her in a red cloth.
What?
The conductor held the train in the station and responded to that car accompanied by a transit train service supervisor, I would hope. Emergency medical services were quickly on the scene and transported the mother and baby to Bellevue Hospital, where the two are both in good condition, according to officials.
That is the most unbelievable thing ever. I mean, you live there for a short amount of time. You visit for a long weekend. You'll see some stuff on the train. You'll see some things. I never saw that. That's unbelievable.
So my questions in these situations are always like, were you 9 months pregnant? Did you know you were pregnant? Were you expecting a baby? Were you on the precipice of giving birth? Like, I don't know how New York works. I know a lot of people don't have cars. Is it possible she was on her way to the hospital?
Right. She's on her way to Bellevue as it is. Now, you wouldn't take the W, but that's not important. Like, would you?
Well, that is quite literally very important. That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah,
she
wasn't on her way to the hospital.
Okay.
You wouldn't think. But that is insane to me.
But, I mean, the amount of help you wouldn't provide is staggering.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. I don't know that there's a worse person in that situation to possibly have to help her out. If she's writhing in pain and screams, sir, I mean, you would make eye contact with her and you would haul ass in the other direction.
I would mutter something, that didn't make any sense to her at the time and just sort of wave
hand. Like gotta go or
over there. Like not even real words. Just a panic. Of avoid this situation at all costs.
But Danny, it's obvious like that she needs help.
That's right.
She's screaming and in pain.
The key here that I need everyone to understand, because people are going to say that you're a terrible person, whatever, and that's fine. Say what you want. I'm not capable of providing assistance. I'm not. Not in that situation. I can't help. If she had a box that was decently heavy, if she needed me to lift it and move it to another place, I can help with that. Like, my suitcase is too heavy. I'll pick that suitcase right up for you. Where do you want me to put it? I can do a couple things. That, helping to birth a child. Number one, I don't have an unsanitary pocket knife just in my coat pocket.
You could gnaw it.
Nope. I couldn't do that. I cannot help you birth your child. Out of my skill set. I don't have that ability. I will find someone who can help you.
It's going to be too late by the time you guys get back.
Then it's too late.
I mean, think about it, though. Either you help her or nobody does.
Then nobody does.
No, but that's worse. You not knowing what you're doing is better than nobody.
Worse. I make it worse. I would not do the right thing. No, I need to be out of there.
Well, congratulations to her.
And I can't imagine.
And the baby. What do you name the baby?
Something starts with W.
It's got to be, right? I mean, you have to now.
Warren, Wesley, Will.
I don't I don't care what the name was when you got on that train. It's now, I don't think you can name a baby. Is it Subway? Probably doesn't go very well. But you got to do something themed to the train or to the, maybe you name it after the lady that cut the umbilical
Seriously.
Cord.
Yeah.
Or whoever hooked you.
Warren Redcloth Smith, whatever her last name is. Right. You know, like what?
Just amazing, man. Next on Grant and Danny. So, you know, Jaden Daniels is huge into VR. There's another way that it's being used in football that a local guy who went to the University of Maryland, played quarterback, Troy Jones, is behind. We're going to tell you that story on The Fan.